So Drake May is off the board. Caleb Williams is off the board. Jaden Daniels is off the board. J.J. McCarthy off the board. Bo Nix is still there. Michael Penix is off the board. Devin Leary is still there. And the reason I bring that up is because Dennis Leary will sit down with Nathan Zagura coming up later on as we celebrate the 10th anniversary of Draft Day. But joining us right now in studio, the voice of your Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan.
Good to see you all. I have to tell you, what a great thing to be here tonight to see you all.
It's great.
Normally, Ken, when we talk on Sunday mornings, it's on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going by the cathedral, and I'm, you know, making the sign of the cross. So hopefully, they at 1 o'clock we're going to be okay. Gerard, I'd like to see you work on those shoulders.
And Nathan, I know,
always good to be with Nathan. I listened to the Texans game the other night, the playoff game. Son of a gun. Huh? I've replayed that thing 5 times. That drive in the second half, that was right there, baby.
And then it was over. And then we're talking about Davis Mills taking snaps in the third quarter. We're like, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys, though.
Hopefully it was a good first half.
The first half was good. Yeah, it really was.
Jim, ever since we saw you come up the stairs, we're like, we got to hear what he has to say about this. Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, unbelievable.
To Atlanta at number 8.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, totally. I mean, there is a surprise move. Right. I mean, you know, in the first round. But that is a big, big surprise considering what they did and the commitment to Kirk Cousins and to get him and the natural move that, you know, they're making to him. And you just thought, no way that would happen, that he would that Michael Penix would go there. He's a fascinating player anyway.
Sure.
I mean, really a fascinating player. And but I never, ever would have pegged that. And I'm sure all the draft mock guys are saying, what the heck is going on?
Of course they are. Good. But at the same time, you think about what the Falcons have gone through, Jim, with Mariota being there and how that didn't work out. And then Ridley. And what that entailed as well. So I can understand how you get to a place where you're like, you know what, we can't have enough quarterbacks. But still, it does not make any sense.
You can't give a guy $100 million guaranteed and then use your most valuable asset again on that position. Because Michael Penix isn't young either. So if the earliest he's going to play, if Kirk Cousins does not get hurt, the earliest that he's going to play is 2026. So they're into Cousins for 2 years. I mean, there's $190 million guaranteed over the next two seasons. He's going to be – he'll be 26 by the time he becomes a starting quarterback in the NFL.
That being Kirk Cousins. You're going to bench him?
Of course not. They're, in my mind, the favorites to win that division. It's wild.
Now, Roger Goodell making his way to the podium right now. Denver's pick is in.
What are you thinking?
Could we see another quarterback here, Nathan?
Absolutely.
You think Nix reminds him of Drew?
Well, I don't know if anybody reminds me of Drew, but I think he thinks he needs a quarterback.
He's played a lot of quarterback. He's played a lot of games.
My goodness. I mean, he is vested, isn't he, with a pension plan in college football?
In the 2024 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bo Nix.
There it is.
Quarterback.
He's vested.
Oregon, 6-for-12.
Go ahead, Nathan. What you got?
All right. I got a text. This is Thursday, April the 11th. I get a text from my buddy, Jimmy Bang Bang, who texts me.
Well, you got some weird names for some
hanging. Hanging with a lady whose fiance is the director of player personnel for the Broncos. I said, that's cool. She says they are drafting Bo Nix.
Wow.
There you go. Put it out there in the streets, huh?
And apparently it didn't cost them. They were still able to get him. How about it?
That's amazing, the information that gets out.
That is insane.
So these six guys we talked about, and I mean, we were talking about it a month ago, that teams were going to trade back into the first round to maybe get after Penix and Bo Nix, and now they're all gone in the first 12 picks.
Yeah. Quarterback league, friends.
You got to have one.
You
got to
have
Jim?
One.
Or two.
Yeah. Maybe three.
Let me say one thing, Ken. Yeah. The Atlanta, not only the pick tonight, but the offseason's been a bit bizarre because of the Belichick situation and that incredible story that came out last week about going through the whole process of Belichick and Arthur Blank and really the rest of the organization saying no, and then Robert Kraft coming in and saying, all right, you know, You're my good friend. Don't hire this guy. Don't trust him. I mean, and so that, and then Rich McKay kind of getting booted out of the football operation, and then a move like this tonight. That's a strange offseason there.
Yes.
For an owner that was so close to winning a Super Bowl, 28-3, and it just slipped away from him. And how he's just so desperately trying to get back because, like all of us, he's getting older.
So I know you listen to a lot of your home Boston sports talk radio.
Yeah. They were saying today, incidentally, mother of God, we need a quarterback.
Yeah, well, they got one. We'll see what Drake May does.
Yeah, but I do. You're right.
What were they saying about – I cannot believe that Kraft would be that bitter or that he would call and be like, don't hire Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I think that they were very surprised. But the whole documentary, I think the whole, you know, putting together of that, I mean, there was a sense –
what are your thoughts?
There was a sense that Robert Kraft was really the executive producer of the whole documentary and made it happen, and he was, you know – obviously fashioned very well in it, but yes. It was a real hit attack on Bill Belichick. I mean, it really was. Yeah. I mean, you know, the guy won all, those Super Bowls,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
I know the quarterback was tremendous.
Certainly
But this guy was a genius, and he is a genius, and he's going to go down as probably the best ever.
And I'll be the first and the last to tell you, Tom Brady does not have the success that he had without Bill Belichick.
Absolutely.
No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And those first three Super Bowls won, that was a defensive-centric football team, not offense.
I don't know what he must have said to him to get him to blackball Bill Belichick on the way out the door.
Hey,
Arthur Blake,
don't hire the guy that figured out a way to beat
to
you
beat you
down 28-3.
Yeah,
bad
right.
idea for
right.
you.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that you know, they were sitting in a position. I think that a lot of people thought they might be involved in the, you know, listening, picking up the telephone, Giants, Vikings, whoever was going to get up there and try and get a quarterback in front of them, and that they would move down and still get a quarterback. But I thought really in the last 48 hours, they were pretty dialed in on Drake May.
It sure seemed that way.
That makes sense. Back to the Patriots situation. I'll let it go after this. Maybe he was upset, that being Mr. Kraft, the fact that Tom went on to win a Super Bowl, and Bill was the reason for Tom exiting the building.
I think that really stung that he went to Tampa Bay. You're exactly right.
Here's the pick.
13th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. The Las Vegas Raiders select Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia.
No, you wanted him gone a couple of picks earlier.
To
the Chargers.
The Jets. Chargers would have been fine, too. I wanted the Chargers to take a wide receiver. I know that Alt is probably going to be a Hall of Famer someday and all of that, but I want weapons. This is surprising because, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they draft the Golden Domer? Didn't they draft Michael Mayer early
yes.
in the second round
yeah,
last year?
Good point. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I guess they're going to go a lot of –
can't have enough tight ends.
They got
a lot of 12 personnel.
This guy's a great player, isn't he? I mean, he is a tremendous player.
Catch radius.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Aiden O'Connell there, and it's not like a – obviously, but you throw to tight ends if you're a little bit
– yeah. Minshew's starting there.
You're really going to have Gardner
Minshew?
All right,
fine.
Yeah. I mean, okay, what are you going to do after he gets hurt?
My man had the hat on already.
He was pretty good for the Colts last year. If there was a drop,
he
pass
was good up and down
it
for
was
the Colts.
By the way, that's if that true. Guy doesn't drop a pass wide open on fourth down, we were playing an Indian
yeah,
in the playoff
absolutely.
Game instead of Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
It probably wouldn't have been the same result, obviously.
So, I don't think so.
Jim, out of these six guys, because you're talking to a lot of Browns fans, there was a lot of people this year going, I don't know much about any of these guys. I don't like any of these guys. Like I told Gerard at the very beginning of the show, in 2018 – we had our arguments ready a year in advance about any guy that we liked, from Allen to Darnold to Baker to everything.
All right, good point.
And now this time, there's not a lot of things there. So, like, are there guys that, out of the top six guys, is there someone you're like, I still don't know about this guy? Is there someone that maybe we're not talking about, like not Caleb Williams, but is there someone maybe that we're saying, hey, I think he's going to be better than what we think?
Well, I'll tell you, Ken, I watched Caleb Williams this year, and I was puzzled by him. But I will buy into the fact that USC had a horrible offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He was missing some weapons at key points. The Notre Dame game, I was very dialed in on that game. I mean, I thought he was awful in that game. And I don't think it was all the offensive line. He made really just atrocious decisions.
Mm-hmm. He tried to make hero ball.
Yeah, three picks. And you said, it was kind of like, what the heck is he seeing out there? As the season went on, I didn't like his body language a couple of times, you know, that, I mean, he's the leader of that team.
Right.
He's the defending Heisman Trophy Award winner, and you would have thought he would have carried himself a little bit better and a little bit more of, hey, come on, I'm the leader, follow me. And I didn't see that. And then as the off-season thing went along and his preparation and the walk-up to the draft, I thought that was bizarre. Mm. So but I watched him at Oklahoma and when he was at USC the 1 year before this last season. He was a tremendous talent, no doubt. I watched Drake May play. I can remember the first time I watched him. It was the opening game of the season. It was like a double or triple overtime game against Appalachian State. And he was tremendous in that game. So he was a fascinating guy. Big, big arm. No doubt about it. And I remember the other kid watching him play at Arizona State, and then I saw him win in Tuscaloosa. He beat Alabama, actually in Baton Rouge. That, you know, if you beat Alabama, it kind of makes you, doesn't it? Because it made Johnny Manziel when he beat him, right?
A decade ago.
Yeah, I mean, really, when Joe Burrow beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, it kind of really solidified him. Yeah, they canonize you down there.
Literally.
Saints on the board right now with the 14th pick here in the first round. So
defense.
We talk Browns. Obviously, we have to talk Browns with you. Very little intrigue with fans. Pick 54 coming up tomorrow. It seems that the 53, Nathan, you and I discussed it on the air before. It seems like the 53 almost could be set if you really wanted it to be.
Absolutely.
What would you like to see, Megan?
Well, I would like to see, for instance, if they went for a young defensive tackle, let's say a defensive tackle, I would be really happy to see them get a young defensive tackle that is their guy. Now, I love the guys that played here last year, and I'm really happy, and you and I on Cleveland Browns Daily mentioned this, I was really happy, Ken, when they brought the majority of them back. They all wanted to come back, and it's a now team. You know, their window is open, and I like that. But let's face it, it's year by year by year. I would love to see them get a player, for instance, if it's an inside defensive lineman that can come in, contribute, but keep learning at a very fast pace.
Right.
And then he's our guy.
Yeah.
And okay, now we've watched him grow. Kind of like JOK. I mean, you know, he's a second-round guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. When you've watched him, and now you watched him grow, and then you watched him last year, and even during the season you watched him, and, you know, we were just laughing about the Texans game. I mean, he was the best player on the field.
Period. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of either
he was.
Team. Yeah,
right.
Of either
yes, he
team.
Was. Right.
And I would love to see that kind of a player come here.
Right, and think about continuity and what it represents. Now, I'm of the opinion you want it in the front office. You want it in coaching staff. And to a large degree, you want it with your players as well. And think about where this organization has grown from. It used to be a point in time where you got the bottom of the barrel players coming here because they were doing what? Simply collecting a check.
Yes.
Now you're in a state to where veterans, seasoned veterans, who are trying to pursue championship aspirations, think that they can acquire that here.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes of what's taking place and change within this organization.
Yeah, Gerard, when they came back in 1999, they had a bundle of money, okay, because it's a brand new team. And you're right, you had all these worn out free agents that would come here, they'd get a dinner at the Blue Point downtown and a valise full of money. Okay. And then, I mean, you know, guys like Lomas Brown and these kind of players, they were done. But they made zillions of bucks because Al Lerner had all that money and the Browns had a brand new kitty to spend, and they weren't worth anything. But you're exactly right. Now you have a different kind of veteran player coming here that realizes you can win here right now.
Yes.
And you can get a good year's work here, and it's a fun place to play.
Yeah.
And it's a good team, obviously.
They love the locker room. They love being a part of it. But
right.
To your point with the defensive tackle position, and I think the first two picks are a defensive tackle, offensive tackle, wide receiver. It's going to be two of those three positions. But, you know, you got Shelby on a one-year deal. Mo Hurst is on a one-year deal. Quentin Jefferson, which I think is one of the more kind of under-the-radar, very good signings, 11 sacks last two seasons, can really rush the passer from that tackle position. But he's also on a one-year deal. Dalvin will be in the second of a three-year deal that usually makes the end of the guarantees. And then you've got Siaki Ika, and I don't think we're sure what we've got.
Yeah.
And it was certainly was not great against Cincinnati in the finale. So I think that is a position where if you can find a guy that fits this scheme, that can get upfield, that it makes a lot of sense because you'll be able to get him in a rotation this year, but then have him be a starter and be, as you said, your guy next year.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot of succession planning, I think, in this draft.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly.
Because when you don't have these first-round picks, you know, the joy of that is, A, you hit on a guy.
Right.
But B is you have them under control for so long.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have that now for the third year in a row. You don't have that particular style or drafted player in that position.
Right.
And that kind of changes your roster makeup. Yeah.
It certainly does. And it makes you become more free agent savvy because
you
have to bring
right?
those people in order to get the job done. But here's the other part, too. As this draft takes place and continues to go on, if you are a free agent, if you are a draft pick, this is going to be an extremely difficult team to crack the starting lineup and be a contributor on. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that does unfold. Because when you're in desperation mode, you'll go wherever they sign you.
Yeah.
But when if I'm a free agent and I'm really savvy as an undrafted guy, I'm saying to myself, do I really want to go there? Because they are loaded.
Yeah.
I was so surprised that we brought back Shelby Harris, that we brought back everybody that Mo Hurst, that we really fell in love with in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
They wanted to come back.
It was so great because it's like, all right, we say the right thing, and then in the offseason, hey, we got to make business decisions. And we were getting gashed the year before. They stopped it last year.
Yeah.
And then these guys come back, and it's like, all right, the culture is there. The culture's true. It's not just something we're trying to believe. It's actually there now.
I was talking with Za'Darius Smith because that was one of the big things. They wanted to get him back, and he played through some things last year, but I still thought was very disruptive, made a lot of big plays. But he said it's the first time in his whole playing career at any level that he's had the same five defensive ends in the room 2 years in a row.
Goodness.
First time ever.
All right, we got Roger Goodell, who's getting ready to take the podium here for the New Orleans Saints, pick 14.
14th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Taulaise Fuaga, tackle, Oregon State.
Pick number 14. What do you got?
No defensive player still.
Well, it's an NFL. It's a record, so there's never been a top 10 without a defensive player, and now we're on 14 straight offensive players. So if you're a team, listen, you're the bank. Let's take the Bengals in our division. Trey Hendrickson wants a trade.
They're happy right
now. It's possible that the top edge in this draft falls to you, and then you can go ahead and maybe acquiesce to his trade request, which I certainly would not do if I was them. But it also says if they thought that these edges were that good, they would be off the board. I mean,
yeah,
it's not – that is – to me, it's saying that they don't think these guys are as good as – perhaps some of them have been in more recent draft classes.
Colts need some defense. Maybe they'll get some. Jim, love to talk to you more about the defense and wide receivers as well when we come back. It is the Cleveland Browns Draft Show on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
You're listening to coverage of the NFL Draft. This is the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Back in Berea, Ken Carmen alongside of Jim Donovan, Nathan Zagura, Gerard Cherry, taking you through the 2024 NFL Draft. The first round, only the first of 3 days here. We'll get going again tomorrow night starting at 7 p.m. and then high noon, day three, picks 4 through 7 with our buddy Nathan Zagura taking the head on that one. Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to come join me?
I mean, I can do a phone call. My son's birthday party's on Saturday.
What number birthday?
5.
Oh, no,
for
you
the
can't,
youngest.
Can't miss that one.
No. Family first, Ken. I support you.
I'm starting to get the whole Harry Chapin deal. My oldest is 8, going to be 9, and it's already too much for me. So it's.
Well, my daughter just got her driver's.
That's a great song.
My daughter just got her driver's.
Is that the song you're talking
Thursday.
About?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Cats in the Cradle all the way.
And the silver spoon.
And the worst thing is all of my producers playing it on purpose on the air to make me feel even worse about all that stuff. So.
Did you say your daughter got her license?
That's right.
Last Thursday.
Mm. Wow.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I remember you telling me, you taking her to school when she was little, and her brother, you playing WWE theme songs and them playing Guess That Tune.
And they were elite at it.
It's amazing.
That's how the first way that they were able to, like, when I would set up competitions, that's how they would get the things they wanted was I would say we do every professional sports league, every major professional sports league, I would say the city. And they had to give me, or whatever the first part of the team was, because it's not always a city, New England, for example.
Yeah.
And they had to give me the mascot, as it were. And so once they got through that, then we were in themes, and then it was battle. As soon as the themes, like whoever had it first, boom, once they racked up enough points, they got to go get whatever they wanted at Toys R Us. Sad that's gone, too. Bygone era, Ken. A bygone era.
I had to explain to my son what a paper route was on Monday. Like, he looked at me like I had lobsters falling out of my ears.
It was such a big deal. There were video games where you got to pretend
to be the paper boy.
Exactly. Wow. Pick is in with Indianapolis. We'll talk about them here in a moment. A wide receiver is always a conversation with the great Nathan Zagura.
I love him.
We like making those jokes, but it's true. Jerry Jeudy in with the Cleveland Browns. Jim, your thoughts?
I was really excited when they got him. I think it was a badly needed move, and I like what they have done. When you consider, you know, Amari Cooper came that way, Jerry Jeudy comes that way. It's interesting how Andrew Berry comes
Elijah
up with
Moore.
The Elijah Moore comes that way. You know, Jerry out there, hopefully better year coming up for him. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a different way to do it. It's a different way to do it. Get the trade done, get them here.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we've tried in the third round. Anthony Schwartz didn't work out. Jury's still out on David Bell, Cedric Tillman. But We've done very good at acquiring these people via trade at that wide receiver position. And by the way, I like it. And if Jerry Jeudy is what they think he is, the fact that they've already locked him up at the value that they did, it's going to be a steal.
Yeah, it's worth it. And go ahead, Gerard.
Yeah,
go
and on top of that, think about
real quick.
With the 15th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Laiatu Luatu, defensive end, UCLA.
All right, first defensive guy off the board goes to the Indianapolis Colts at pick 15. Seattle, the Seahawks, they're on the clock at pick 16. Go ahead, Gerard.
Yeah, well, think about Coop and what that represented and how we were able to, in my opinion, fleece the Cowboys in getting him. Wow. And then when you think about the situation with Jeudy, he had instability at the highest forms in Denver and what that represents. So you figure you get stability at the quarterback position, puts you in a position to where you can let that talent unfold. And obviously, we will see. But I'm of the opinion that, yes, you take a chance on a guy like this who has so much talent because, once again, he was in a situation where it was unstable. And when you have instability like you have in Denver going on, it's hard to succeed. I don't care who you are. It's damn near impossible to. So I get why the numbers were not as one would want them to be. But you really have to understand, when an organization is faltering, it's hard for the success to show itself as an individual and as a team.
You know, Ken, if you think about it, as amazing as it was how they navigated through the quarterback situation last year here and got to the playoffs, and what a great story that was, the wide receiver situation was really the same because it was Cooper and then a bunch of projects, really, with Elijah Moore playing an Elijah Moore role. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, on the outside, I mean, we had wished that it would be Donovan Peoples-Jones, and obviously it wasn't, and they traded him away. Tillman is very, very young, but they were playing critical games with these kind of players. David Bell comes up with that big play that finally gives them breathing room against Jacksonville. But I mean, now you really did need an established wide receiver to go along with Cooper. I mean, it was great with Cooper and Njoku, but you were still missing that piece to the puzzle, and yet they were very, very able to weave their way through that, which is another amazing part of their story last year.
Yeah, you need that blazer. You got to have that guy
in
which a defense coordinator says, we cannot let this guy beat us over the top. We tried to establish that with several guys and never panned itself out, and you have a guy who has some semblance to show that he possesses that ability in Jeudy.
And part of the reason I think that maybe even a receiver, to your point, would still be in play in the second round, like a Franklin out of Oregon, Troy Franklin, who can just fly. Is part of this draft is what can help you this year, and we talked about that with the defensive tackle framework, but really about taking over in 25. And I think you'd think that even at the receiver position, because Jerry Judy's going to be here. He's under contract. Amari, at that point, is no guaranteed money left. It's going to be very expensive and another year older. Not that you want to get rid of him, but you have to think about these things because you can't keep everybody when you're a good football team.
Yeah, that's right.
Elijah's in the last year of his rookie deal. And our offense last year, I think what was so interesting about it was, if you take the Jets game where we clinched that magical night, Amari was a late scratch. Elijah goes into that role and was actually dominant.
I thought his best game.
Right. It was. Yeah, and then he gets hurt. And
he got hurt then.
Yeah. He was – our offense just kind of really seemed to get the ball to two people. It didn't really matter. Donovan never really got any targets, and then Cedric Tillman went in there like, okay, you're not getting any targets either. You're going to go block. And
it was
unique that way.
When you got so many different quarterbacks, you're just going to go
– to the top guys.
Yeah. So you're not going to really be able to disperse around. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions about Elijah Moore in one moment. Give me 10 seconds here. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification all along the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Broadcasting from a Serpentini Chevrolet studio, WKRK-FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights, an Odyssey Sports Station.
Rolling along here at the Cross Country Mortgage Campus, Ken Carmen alongside of Gerard Cherry, Jim Donovan, Nathan Zagura. Nathan, I want to start with you about Elijah Moore, because last year, we're hearing stories out of the Greenbrier. Oh, they're using him out of the backfield. Right. And then when Nick got hurt, it almost became something they had to do to just open up the offense a little bit and get some breathing room for their running game. And then he kind of got caught in the wash, and by the end of the year, there was some solid play, and then he got hurt in the Jets game. What do you do with Elijah Moore now this season?
I think if you go back and watch as the season evolved, they started off with him in that backfield role, and then Nick gets hurt. So then they're giving him three carries a game. They're throwing him all the ball behind the line of scrimmage, all those short passes. And so he had a game, for example, Tennessee, 9 catches for 49 yards. And then as the season went on, they said, you know what? Let's let him play wide receiver. Let's let him do what he did. And that's when you got to see some of his better games when the ball started to go his way. You know, 5 for 44 and a touchdown, 6 for 60, 4 for 83, 5 for 61 and a touchdown in less than a half against the Jets. I still like Elijah Moore quite a bit. It was still career highs in catches, career highs in yards, you know, coming into the Browns. But I think that he almost played two different roles and shifted during the season with four different people really throwing him the ball. I think that's a tough situation just in general. When you saw when Flacco came in, when he was the primary guy, Flacco and he were able to really kind of connect at a much better level than he had been with anybody else early in the season.
You know, the other thing about him was, if you really kind of go inside of his season, there were a couple of times where he made really big catches at big moments in the game. Pittsburgh, when Dorian Thompson-Robinson and they've got the ball for that last drive, which led to the touchdown, the field goal that won the game for them. He made a big catch over the middle on a critical down where they're going to have to give the ball up. And then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the game. And he made a big catch there. He made a big catch in Baltimore, didn't he, on the last drive coming down the field. He made a really big catch. He made a big catch in Indianapolis on that last drive coming down. I thought that there were points where he made critical catches. And in that game against the Jets, he made one of the best plays of any of the receivers all season long, where this will play right to you, okay? I'm playing to you now, Gerard. He became a defensive back on the play, knocked the ball away from the Jet defensive back, and caught it for a big play. So it wasn't a wealth of big plays. And you're right. I mean, we are fascinated, Ken. You're right about the Greenbrier reports that, wow, he's going to run out of the backfield. I remember the night, the rainy night against Washington in the preseason, he started out in the backfield, remember?
Yeah,
I mean, like he was running all over the place.
Yeah.
But I thought, really, he made some clutch plays, I thought.
He certainly did, and the rest of the league got the memo that, hey, we're going to utilize him in a multifaceted role. But at the same time, early on in the season, there were some issues with turning the football over and not keeping it in his possession. But ultimately what I think took place is that defenses knew that we were having issues at the quarterback position and that passing wasn't truly a threat. So what are you going to do as a defense? You're going to load up on the idea of stopping the run, and you're certainly not going to let gadget plays and a guy who's regarded as that person beat you. So I think that played a part in it. But once we saw him get stability at the quarterback position, once Flacco got under center, then you saw him flourish. And I'm assuming that the same thing will take place this year with Watson, because we saw it in Greenbrier.
One of the things that I'm excited about, and you go back to Jerry Jeudy, and while the numbers weren't gaudy, he averaged about 9 yards a target for his career so far. That's efficient. You get a guy who's averaging 9 yards a target, a decent number of targets, they're going to put up a lot of yards and be very productive. That puts you in the upper quartile in the NFL at 9 yards a target. What Andrew Berry's collected, and I think this is something that I haven't heard people talk about this much, but Amari's one of the best players in the NFL against man coverage. Jerry Jeudy's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL percentage-wise against man coverage. And so is Elijah in terms of his separation and his productivity against man coverage. And so we're going to be an 11-personnel team. That's why they brought Ken Dorsey in. Get in the shotgun, spread you out. Now you hopefully have that run game still. You've got Chief. Now we've got guys that can win one-on-one. And then if you can turn teams and say, you know, we're not going to play man, we're going to play zone, then quarterbacks can just pick you apart.
Right. That is the goal. Create mismatches, and teams are hard-pressed. We're very fortunate. Most teams don't have two good corners, let alone three or four.
Right.
And we're in a position where we do have that. So that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
Create mismatches with your receiver position.
It made me a little bit defensive of the running backs. Jerome Ford's not Nick Chubb. You see 34 from up in the stands, and you think it's 24, and it's like he's not going to be able to create the holes that Nick does. Nick is a special running back. We all know that. But it's where you take the head off the top of the running game, and you found out how really valuable Nick was. But then you're trying to find your running game, and it's exactly what Gerard says. It's not just trying to find the running game. You got different quarterbacks in there. So now they're going to line up and try to stop the run first and dare you to try to throw the football.
Welcome you to do
it. And Joe Flacco had a hot hand, but I thought it made their job with the running back room that much more tougher, Nathan.
It did, but what's incredible is if you add up what Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, and Pierre Strong did, they had almost 1,900 total yards from scrimmage and 19 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have signed up for that. It's kind of unbelievable. And yet, you hope to get Nick back. I still want to see more Pierre Strong. I think he's dangerous. He's got that acceleration
you
can see from the booth. Even
really
if you're 800 miles high in Houston, you can see his juice.
Yeah, it's
and we were 800 we miles.
I mean, it is. Yeah. Yes, we were.
I know he's prone to exaggerate, but he's not.
he's right about that. Seattle pick number, their pick 16, that is in. Right now, we're kind of in a holding pattern right now in the NFL draft. All right, Joe Alt, real quick, what type of player is he going to be? You know, I had to ask.
I want to tell you an interesting story about him. Because his dad was a great player, right? His dad was a great offensive lineman with the Chiefs. He knew that Joe Alt wanted to play offensive line as a kid, okay, to be like dad. Mm-hmm. His dad said, you're not going to play offensive line. I'm not going to let you play offensive line. So he made him play linebacker, defensive end, things like that. Why? Because I want your feet to really get quick. So he didn't play offensive line until deep into high school, and when he then finally went to college and went to Notre Dame. And he went to Notre Dame and really kind of got a break because of an injury.
In the United States military, your sacrifices to defend our country's freedom do not go unnoticed. Thank you so much. With the 16th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
All right, Byron Murphy off the board. One more. Audric Estime. Tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah. Blazing speed, really good runner.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at breakaway speed, I think, really played, I think plays very, very well. I think he'll be a running back, I think, that would really give a team you know, a nice, pleasant surprise. He would really, I think, grow into a role as a lead back in the NFL. I do. But the kid Alt, I think he definitely would be a left tackle.
Yeah. What do you think of, as we talk about, you know, tackles for the Browns? Alt, obviously, off the board, but his teammate, Blake Fisher, is somebody who could be there tomorrow.
No, that's how Alt got into the lineup, because Fisher got hurt. So, really, Alt would have been delayed even getting into the Notre Dame thing, into the offensive line, because they really did have a very good offensive line. But Fisher got hurt. But that would be a really interesting pickup. He's now healthy. Yep. He had a meniscus problem. I would think he would have really, if healthy totally, I think he would have been a first-round pick.
Well, that sounds like the kind of guy Andrew Berry likes to get.
There you go.
Outside of the first round.
That's it from the South Bend Bureau, Ken.
The Golden Dome.
How'd I do on that one?
Donovan.
How'd I do all right?
Great. I love scout report.
Well, the reason I asked about Audric Estime, I know we got to go, but the reason I asked about Audric Estime, I went to that Wake Forest game.
I remember you told me.
And the PA guy is outstanding. I think he's new, and it was senior day. They fed him the ball like 22 times, and you just kept hearing his name. And so everybody up in the stands is saying his name with it. So it's like, well, I'm going to act like I know who this guy is really going to – what this guy is really going to be able to give a team, so I can act like I know what I'm talking about there. That was the whole idea.
I think he'll give a team – I think he would be a lead back in the NFL.
Yeah, I would like to see it. All right, up real
Boise's
quick.
Boise's moved up for the second time.
Okay, Minnesota has moved up, so we'll hold off on a break here for just a second. Minnesota's back into pick 17. They've moved in with the Jaguars, where Tony Khan took a tombstone pile driver last night. I don't know if you noticed that there, Nathan, and his dad came running out.
Quite a few things he's done lately.
The Jaguars, the DB right here.
The Jaguars get 23rd overall, the fifth round pick, 167, then a 2025 third and fourth the Jaguars got for that trade.
This could be, if it is a corner, that would be kind of, remember back in 2018 when the Browns got Baker and Denzel Ward in the same draft for Kwesi, could be trying to get his quarterback J.J. McCarthy, and then perhaps an opportunity at 17 to get the number one corner. I was going to say, who's the top
Quinyon Mitchell?
Who's
maybe
the top receiver?
Kid out of
That's
Toledo?
What I'm talking Bryant, the other LSU kid.
Watched him play for 4 years.
You know,
really
what?
Good player.
Good point. Here comes Roger Goodell, so we're going to find out here in just a moment. Yeah, Gerard, I mean, you see him play a bunch.
Jaguars have traded the 17th pick to the Minnesota Vikings. With the 17th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Dallas Turner, linebacker, Alabama.
So that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You let Danielle Hunter goes, unfortunately, to Houston.
He's mad.
Along with everybody else. And so what are you able to now? You get your quarterback. Kirk Cousins leaves. You replace him with J.J. McCarthy. Danielle Hunter leaves. You replace him with Dallas Turner.
Jim, we can't thank you enough for the time.
Hey, it was great seeing you guys.
Yes, sir. We thank you very much. And, of course, we're looking forward to
the best.
Hearing everything as we get ready for training camp coming up, because we'll blank and it'll be here. So
slowly, we haven't even gotten to the point where we can play golf. Don't wish this summer you know to be over yet.
I took a lesson last week.
I want to hear all about
to
it.
Tell you more during
please?
A break.
I think a lot of golfers are pleased you took that step.
I think a lot of people.
I think the house is lining the
thank you very much.
All the window makers.
Universal Windows Direct.
They're not happy.
Were you the one in that video where that guy's like, I'm mad. I'm real mad right now.
Anyway, Minnesota, they are off the board. And now Cincinnati at pick number 18 will make their selection when we come back. It's the Cleveland Browns Draft Show on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.